This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, it's all going down in Georgia as we speak. The lines have formed. People are showing up on game day to vote. And I'm just going to say, I think it's cute how people think Herschel Walker has a chance. How people think that the Democrats are ever going to allow Herschel to win this seat. I hate to break it to you. It ain't happening. I'll play along. I'll watch. But there's no way in hell the ground troops for the Democrats are going to allow this seat to slip away. We'll give you the latest from Georgia. Tough day for Democrat icons. We got the transcript of Dr. Fauci under oath being deposed for 7 hours and lying his ass off. No surprise. We'll give you the whole count, the count on how many times he said, "I don't recall." That was his favorite answer to most of the tough questions, but it won't slow him down. He's ready to get a whole bunch of awards this holiday season. Michael Avenatti, talk about darlings of the mainstream media, was sentenced to another 14 years in prison. This scumbag is not getting out for a good long while, but that's not going to stop us from looking back at the love affair the media had with Michael Avenatti, including one woman who called him the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we got the video. There's they can't run, they can't hide. A whole bunch of soldiers, Marines, are getting kicked out of the military. We're still doing this, people. The president and his joint chiefs, they're all in on this. They want to kick you out of the military for not getting a useless vaccine. It feels like a press conference from 2020, but nope, they're still doing it. We'll give you the latest. Harry and Meghan arrive in New York City on a private jet to receive an award for fighting racism. I guess fighting racism in the royal family. Their Netflix trailer is getting huge numbers, but people are hate watching. That's what they're doing. Ironhead's going to hate watch for us and give us a full review of their much anticipated Netflix series. Tom Brady wins again. And he's in first place. Yes, he had a terrible game, but a good finish, and he's in first place. And the latest on Twittergate, on the Twitter files, the reaction, the predictable reaction, it's just never going to end. These people are coming after you, Elon Musk. They're coming after you. I don't envy the man, the richest man in the world, but he will soon be the most investigated man in the world. We will discuss that and lots more in today's Callahan Show, brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Yes, I did it. I did it. I had for, I think, the third night in a row. My wife's away, so I'm on my own, and I am loving my Omaha Steaks and especially my Omaha Burgers. Three nights in a row of cheeseburger. Is anything wrong with that? I don't think so, because these are so damn good. Let me tell you, this is what you got to do this holiday season, this Christmas season. Just call Omaha Steaks, order it up, get your discount with code word Jerry, and whomever you're sending this to will be thrilled. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special gift packages to help take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. Just go to omahasteaks.com, use code word Jerry at checkout, get $30 off your order. You send an assortment of mouth-watering favorites, including the butcher's cut filet, air-chilled boneless chicken, and my favorite, the ultra-juicy burgers. You can't go wrong. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early, beat the shopping rush. Just go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code Jerry at checkout, order with complete confidence, knowing you're ordering the very best. Just go to omahasteaks.com, code word Jerry, extra $30 off, minimum order may be required. Then when you're done with that, go to callahancoffee.com and order up some of the best coffee. You can't go wrong. Whoever you send it to will be thrilled. All right, we got a lot to get to today. Man, I got pages and pages. Big day yesterday, big news day. I love big news days, and today's no exception. They're voting as we speak in Georgia, and I got to be honest. There was a point, you know, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I said, this will be interesting. I was hoping it would decide the fate of the Senate. It won't, but it is big. 50-50 Senate means the chairmanships are split. It means one guy, the Republicans peel away one guy like Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema. They could stop the out of control spending. They can stop the destructive Biden agenda. But I have to be the bearer of bad news today, folks. It ain't happening. After all you saw on election day, after all you read about what they did in Arizona, the ballot in Nevada, the ballot harvesting, the ballot box stuffing, the mail-in voting, the broken machines on game day, on voting day in Maricopa County, you really think the Biden's ground troops are going to allow this Senate seat to go to Herschel Walker? They hate him. First of all, they hate any black Republican. That's a threat to them. So they've come out hard against Herschel Walker, dug up all kinds of dirt. Herschel's not a good candidate, but I will say this, he's a much better candidate than Raphael Warnock. Here's the point we've reached. I don't care about issues. The voters don't care about the issues. Raphael Warnock is a socialist. He's a Bernie bro. He praised, you know, Fidel Castro, Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright. This guy doesn't represent the values of Georgia. I was talking to my friend. I have a friend, a good friend in Georgia. And he's like, he hasn't seen a Raphael Warnock supporter. He's in the mountains. Granted, he's not in the city, but he says, everybody here is supporting a Herschel. And I just laughed and said, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what these guys' views are, what these guys' political positions are. All that matters is who votes. And they had early voting, of course, and they showed up. The early voting was dominated by Warnock. He's leading in the polls. Herschel needs to win over 60% today to win, and that's, in my opinion, just not going to happen. You will hear about a water main break. You'll hear about a power outage, traffic, lines, weather. There will be a number of variables here, and they will all favor Warnock, and Warnock will be a senator for 6 years. This guy whose wife is on tape saying he's a phony, he's an actor, he abused her, he drove it over her foot on video. Doesn't matter. It's. I don't want to say it's fixed. I don't want to say it's rigged. We'll get to the rigged election, but I just have no faith in Herschel Walker. There's already been 2 million votes cast. 2 million. Early voting favors the Democrats, so the numbers don't look good going into election day today. And again, there'll be people showing up and all enthusiastic about Herschel, and then the results will come up, and I'm going to say Warnock wins by 4-5%. You want to blame Trump for this? Go ahead. Not because he didn't show up. He did a teleconference or whatever. I'm sure there was reason for this. They discussed it and they decided Trump showing up was not a good move, but Trump picked him. Trump liked him because Trump likes celebrities, and Herschel Walker once played for the New Jersey Generals when Trump owned it. That's how Trump thinks. He's a celebrity. He's a stud. You know, he's a big, good looking guy, big, strong, tough guy. So Trump says he's our guy. Unfortunately, Herschel struggled to articulate his message. He rarely did interviews without somebody sitting in his lap. There would always be, Lindsey Graham or somebody else would be there to answer questions, which was kind of embarrassing. But again, he's a much, much better person, much better candidate than Raphael Warnock. Doesn't matter. I have no faith that he could pull this out. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I'm not sitting like I was on election day, hoping, for the big red wave. Not happening. Again, good luck, Herschel. I don't think he ever recovered from his flamboyant son, Christian, coming out and just lambasting him for an hour on video. That hurt. And obviously they dug up all these stories about abortions and from 30 years ago. That's how they play. They fight dirty. I wish my side fought as dirty as they do. But speaking of fighting dirty, man, we got a lot to get to. We got to get to Avenatti. We got to get to Fauci, the evil elf, is back in the news. And the latest on the Twitter files, Twittergate. We're still waiting, by the way, for the Barry Weiss drop. If you're not paying real close attention, Friday, we got the big dump, big drop from Twitter files from Matt Taibbi, Substack journalist, the guy I used to despise, but now I like him because he's seen the light. And he's one of these former liberals who's fighting for, you know, free speech. And he's, you know, he had the thread. He had the, and the media went after him, of course, because he had the thread from the internal documents. But he also gave documents to Barry Weiss, another Substack, former New York Times reporter who's seen the light. She's on Substack. She has attacked the New York Times for their, you know, obviously their dishonesty, their corruption. But we're still waiting on Barry Weiss, and we'll see what we're hoping. There's more documentation of the collusion between federal officials, FBI officials, and Twitter. That certainly happened, but we'll do Fauci because this is relevant, and it's relevant because this, because our White House, Joe Biden, his Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, his slovenly, bloated chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Milley. By the way, Milley went to that state dinner for Macron the other day. All his ribbons and, I mean, awards, and his big bloated fat ass waddling into that dinner. And I'm thinking, what has he got? You know, he should do some time. Look at a picture of Dwight Eisenhower. Look at a picture of MacArthur, and then look at Milley. Milley has 10 times as many ribbons and stars and awards and bands than those guys who won wars. Milley's won nothing. Milley's a loser and a woke fraud. And he's supposed to be, you know, a soldier, and he supports kicking soldiers out of the military who are unvaxxed. This is so infuriating. I was reading about it this morning, listening to John Kirby, that another fraud. A guy who's supposed to be a military guy, an admiral, and he is placing wokeness over military readiness. He's kicking out. Here's the numbers: due to be fired from the military, 3,600 active Marines, these studs, these young studs, who are signing up to fight wars to defend democracy, to defend this country, and they're kicking them out because they won't get a vaccine. These are young, healthy, fit, the fittest among us. And our president wants to kick them out of the military. At the same time, the military cannot meet its recruiting goals. The Army is 15,000 people short of its recruiting goals for this year. The Navy met 10% of its recruiting goal. 10. Marines, 30%. There he is, Milley. I mean, there's no room left on his shirt, on his coat, for any more ribbons and stars and banners and awards. None. And the guy's done nothing but lose in disgraceful, embarrassing fashion, lose the war against, you know, 8th century goat herders in Afghanistan, and he gets medals, you know? Generals lose wars, they get medals. Corporals lose their rifles, they get court-martialed. There's no justice here. They're kicking out 1,800 people scheduled to be kicked out of the Army, 1,900 out of the Navy. They can't make their... Yeah, there it is. There's Eisenhower. What's he got? One ribbon? Win the World War and save the free world. You get one ribbon. Lose Afghanistan to a bunch of barbaric goat herders, and you get a whole chest full of ribbons. That's what's wrong with the military. If you're watching along right here, we have the comparison. Milley versus Dwight David Eisenhower. God, that's embarrassing. But I was watching this in disbelief, listening to Biden, Kirby, KJP, Austin, insisting that the vaccine is somehow a good thing, a necessary thing for military readiness. Kirby actually said that you want your soldiers healthy. Well, why aren't they healthy? They're 21 years old. Rich says, Milley courageously killed 10 Taliban terrorists. No, that was a family of 10. That's I'll never get over this. I know that that Kirby clown was bragging about the how the rest of the world was marveling at the way we got out of Afghanistan, marveling. So we got 13 soldiers and Marine blown up at the gates of the airport by a terrorist. We got to save face after that. We droned a family of 10, killing 7 innocent children. The coward in the White House has never mentioned it. He's never apologized. I mean, right there, there's in Trump's 4 years, he never did anything that egregious, anything that evil. Killed 10 innocent people to save face after our, and then we took off and people were hanging on their planes, falling off, dying. And we left $85 billion in advanced U.S. weaponry behind for the goat herders, the evil goat herder. Then we abandoned hundreds of Americans behind enemy lines and we just took off. And Kirby says the rest of the world is marveling. People are so out of touch, including with this vaccine mandate. Again, this was yesterday. The White House saying yes, they stand by their. This is Politico yesterday, 2 p.m. yesterday. President Joe Biden and his Pentagon chief oppose any efforts to repeal the vaccine mandate for troops. The White House said, setting up a fight with lawmakers who want to roll back the policy as part of the upcoming defense policy bill. The president agrees with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the Pentagon that they should continue to require all service members to be vaccinated and boosted against COVID-19. Secretary Austin said Kirby. Secretary Austin has been very clear that he opposes the repeal of the vaccine policy and the president actually concurs. He continues to believe all Americans, including those in the armed forces, should be vaccinated. Vaccines are saving lives, said Kirby, including our men and women in uniform. This remains a very much a health and readiness issue. What is he talking about? This is so bizarre. It's one thing to believe the vaccine saved lives, stopped the spread 2 years ago. This is almost 2023. Your friends in Silicon Valley, your friends in big tech did their best to censor any skepticism, any honesty, any truth about the vaccine. But the jig is up, Admiral. It's up. We're done. People are who would normally be drawn to serve in the military, to fight for this country, aren't joining because they don't want to take any chances with this unnecessary vaccine, this experimental vaccine. This is such madness. Check this story out. It was just a little note. I saw it yesterday and said, is that real? Pfizer, this is yesterday. This is from just the AP. Yes, it is. AP medical writer Lauren Neergaard. Yesterday, updated this morning. Pfizer is asking U.S. regulators to authorize its updated COVID-19 vaccine for children under 5, not as a booster, but as part of their initial shots. Pfizer is asking the U.S. to authorize their shots for children under 5.
Nope.
And you know what your president's going to do? He's going to say, oh, I support this. It saves lives, stops the spread. This is madness. The good thing is people are pushing back. Children aged 6 months through 4 years already are supposed to get 3 extra small doses of the Pfizer vaccine as their primary series. If the FDA agrees, a dose of Pfizer Omicron targeting vaccine would be substituted for their third shot. Third shot for children 6 months old? Who's doing this? What parent would do this to their child? This is buried in the story, but here's the encouraging news. Few of the nation's youngest children have gotten the vaccines since the shots were okayed in June. Just 2% of tots under 2 and 4% of 2 to 4 year olds have gotten their primary doses. So even people who are totally, COVID crazy cultists a year, 2 years ago are pushing back. But Pfizer's not stopping, and you can bet the administration will not stop because their top priority, as always, is to make more Pfizer billionaires. I don't know how the, I don't know what form the kickbacks come in. We'll find out maybe someday how much money Fauci's making, or Rochelle Lewinsky, Rochelle Walensky, and or Biden, but someone's making something, because this is insanity.
Yeah.
We're pushing vaccines on six month olds. And we're kicking guys out of the Marines who won't get a shot that doesn't stop you from getting COVID or spreading COVID. It does serve a purpose. I believe it helps save elderly people, obese people, really vulnerable people from death or serious illness. That's true. I believe it. It does nothing for a fit, healthy 21-year-old guy with his head shaved and his, you know, in great shape, ready to get out there, kick some ass for the U.S. That guy, he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's going to work at Amazon. He'd be a Marine, but they won't let him in because he doesn't have this useless vaccine. This is insane, but that's the policy of your president.
I think Trump's not helping with this either, because he still won't let go of it, because he made it, and he just needs to admit he was wrong. Just put the hand up and be like, I was wrong. Because people like my dad, who just got the friggin' shot, is currently got COVID because he doesn't listen.
Everybody gets COVID. It's the flu now. It's mm-hmm. You get COVID, you get better. You get COVID for a couple of days, you recover. It's contagious. It's not fun, but it's part of life, thanks to the Chinese Communist Party. Oh, and we'll get to that, because again, these are stories that you probably haven't seen much if you're following the mainstream media. They don't talk about this insane COVID policy, and they certainly don't talk about Dr. Fauci's deposition. Let's get to this. He sat down to two state attorneys general, the guy from Schmidt from Missouri and Landry from Louisiana, sued for the social media collusion, and they got Fauci under oath. Schmidt is the attorney general of Missouri, but he's a senator elect, and he's a hero. They got this snake under oath, and they questioned him for 7 hours. My favorite part of the transcript is when the stenographer sneezes and Fauci insists she put a mask on. Put a mask on during a deposition because she sneezed. He's just a fanatic, and he's just drunk with power. But they questioned him, and they counted. He said, I don't recall, 174 times. He doesn't recall anything. He doesn't recall sending emails. He doesn't recall, you know, insisting masks don't work, telling his underlings don't wear masks in February. And by April of 2020 wanted it like mandated into federal law. He totally became this mask fanatic after insisting they don't work. But there's all kinds of interesting revelations here. No audio or video yet, I don't believe. Just the transcript, which was released. It's a case regarding social media censorship. These guys are heroes fighting the social media censorship at the state level, hopefully soon to be the federal level when Schmidt gets to the Senate. He was asked if anybody, if he knew anyone who worked for social media company. Fauci said, well, I've had communications with Mark Zuckerberg in the past. I've done, I believe, 3 outward FaceTime discussions encouraging people to get vaccinated. During this line of questioning, Fauci revealed that his daughter used to work for Twitter as a software engineer, but said that he never discussed content or posted anything to social media. Do you have any acquaintances, people you know who work in social media? Asked the attorney questioning him. Well, a person who used to work as a software engineer was my daughter. His daughter was working for Twitter when they were censoring everybody who dared criticize this little monster. But there's some interesting revelations in here about him colluding with. I want to get to my favorite part where he says one of the things that upset him was people criticizing China. And I'm going, what?
course he did.
What distortions on social media were you concerned about? He was asked. Wild speculations and accusations, you know, blaming the Chinese and talking about they're deliberately or accidentally, which is, and talking about they are deliberately or accidentally, which certainly is a possibility. There was no evidence at the time, and that's what I was concerned about. So the thing, this alleged, you know, public health official, a hack, a bureaucrat, a political operative, the thing he was most concerned about on social media that he wanted censored was wild speculations and accusations, you know, blaming the Chinese. This is so insane. I feel like I say this about so many things, but the thing that upsets this hack, the thing that upset a lot of people in the media and Democrats, again, I repeat myself, but that they blame the Chinese. Now think of all, I had COVID. Did you have COVID yet, Ironhead?
Oh yeah. I had it last January.
You have COVID and most people have had it. It's not fun. The Chinese did that. The Chinese did that to us. The Chinese destroyed our economy, cost us trillions. The Chinese destroyed thousands and thousands of small businesses. The Chinese killed more than 1 million Americans. The Chinese shut down our schools. The Chinese did that. They created it in a lab. They unleashed it on the world. They did immeasurable damage to us. And the thing Fauci's concerned about is people on Twitter or Facebook might be blaming the Chinese. What the hell? You're concerned that people might blame the country from where it came, and you can't have that. They wanted it censored. They wanted it banned. When people blamed the country, the Chinese Communist Party, for unleashing us on the world, when it's true, when they did. It's one of the most amazing scandals that no one even talked about was when Joe Biden met with Xi Jinping for 3 hours and never discussed COVID or fentanyl. China sent the COVID virus here and killed 1 million Americans and caused trillions of dollars damage to our economy. Chinese is still sending fentanyl over the southern border, killing young people in record numbers. And the coward in the White House, when he had a chance to confront his counterpart in China, said nothing. That is remarkable.
This is the United States of America, for God's sake.
And it won't slow down Fauci. He's 82 in a couple of weeks, and he says he's retiring. I assume that means so he can really cash it. He's gotten rich. He's doubled his net worth during COVID, while your small business was bankrupt, but he doubled his net worth. They announced he will be the speaker at the Yale School of Medicine commencement service. And by the way, when he showed up at the Kennedy Center for those awards the other day, which if you have to see the video of this, you got to see it. These just smarmy limo liberal hypocrite pukes all gathering together. Biden, of course, was there stumbling and stumbling and babbling through his speech, but Clooney, Damon, all the usual suspects showed up. Pelosi's Paul bravely, courageously showed up with a hat on to cover his damaged skull, got a big ovation. Fauci showed up and got a standing ovation. Fauci, the guy who's been wrong about everything, who's done more damage to this country than anyone ever, got a standing ovation. He's still a hero. And he will always be a hero to these people because he did one thing. In their minds, he did one thing above all others. Forget all the mistakes he's made, all the lying, all the money he's made. He helped rid us of the evil orange man. He played an integral part in ousting Donald J. Trump. And that's all that matters to these people. He has been a menace, a scourge on the public for 3 years, but they don't care. He defeated their guy. He defeated our guy and helped install Joe Biden. And that's all they care about. But we'll be watching today, the next few days, as Marines and Air Force guys and Army guys, and they get kicked out for a vaccine. That talk about stubborn. Just it's just insane that you can't say, you know what? We were kind of wrong about this vaccine. It doesn't stop the spread. It doesn't help military readiness. We can't get people to sign up and join the military because of it, but Biden won't drop it. It's just nuts. But at least Fauci, you know, was honest, was candid with the public when asked about all the mistakes he's made. And there were many: vaccine, the masks, you know, schools, shutting down schools, all the mistakes he's made. Let's listen to an interview we did with the Washington Post when they asked him to, you know, if he has any regrets as he leaves the public stage. I shouldn't say that. As he gets his snout out of the public trough for the first time in 50 years, he's never leaving the public stage. This desperate, sad narcissist can't really, you know, he did say, I can't recall 174 times. He kind of said it one more time when asked about all the mistakes he made. Let's listen.
First, I want to ask you, is there a moment of your career that you wish you could do over?
You know, Yasmin, no. And I know there are going to be people who are going to respond to that who say, well, what does he think? He's perfect. Absolutely. I'm the first to admit I'm far from perfect. But when you say do over, you know, I really can't see something that I would do completely over.
You know that thing with the Beagles? I'd keep it the same way.
Honest to God, he funded the research that created the virus. That's a fact. We funded the Wuhan lab, this gain of function research, and the result was COVID-19 and 7 million deaths across the globe. Any regrets there, Dr. Fauci? No, I wouldn't say that. Oh, God, he's repulsive. I mean, honest to God. And they're never going to drop it again. He could have been sitting there with like a bag full of dead, you know, bag full of skulls. And people would say, isn't he dreamy? He helped defeat Donald Trump. Just go away, you menace. Speaking of menaces, let's get to, oh man, we got so much here. Let's get to, I'm not sure if you were to put together, here's our show today, Ironhead. You got to come up with the little title for it. We got Avenatti, Fauci, Warnock, Harry and Meghan, the media attacking Elon Musk. We got Yul Roth again. Oh, that punk. We got so many villains. Today's a whole lineup of villains, but let's get to Avenatti, because this is hilarious. This is another feel-good story. This is the only problem here is he's not sharing a cell with Fauci. That would be justice if he was sharing a cell with the evil elf. But Avenatti, if you recall, was the darling of the mainstream media, and we got the receipts. It's hard to put into words how much they loved him. He hated Trump. He set a record, I think, for appearances on MSNBC and CNN. He was like living in the green room. That's probably where he had a bunk in the green room, but when he went to prison, Fauci took that bed and started living in there. But this is from the Daily Mail. From Daily Mail yesterday. Attorney Michael Avenatti, who rose to fame representing porn star Stormy Daniels in her lawsuit against Donald Trump, was sentenced to 14 years in federal prison for dodging taxes and stealing millions from clients. The thing that I don't understand with this is he's not stupid. You've seen him on TV. He's slick. He's sleazy. But how do you think, I know I asked this about lots of criminals, like, how did you think you were going to get away with this? He was also ordered to pay $8 million in restitution after admitting he secretly took money paid to his clients and spent some to buy a private jet, which has been, they got a picture of it too, that's been confiscated. His sentence will run consecutively with 5 years he's already serving for convictions in New York. I mean, he's serving time right now for extorting Nike. He thought he could extort, blackmail Nike for $25 million and then just send him a check. How do you think you get away with that today? I want to get to my favorite part. The prosecutors accused Avenatti of bilking clients out of $12 million, one of whom was a mentally ill paraplegic on disability. He's bilking mentally ill paraplegics and thinking, you know, the jury was going to show sympathy. He argued in his defense he only stole $3.6 million from the mentally ill. They have they don't have a picture, but they have a drawing of the mentally ill guy. He's a big fat guy. He looks all disheveled. He sued. He tried to commit suicide, I believe, in custody. He was in custody, and he ended up paralyzed. Yeah, prosecutors said Avenatti collected $4 million from L.A. County on behalf of Johnson, Jeffrey Ernest Johnson, who suffered in-custody injuries and was left a paraplegic after a suicide attempt while in custody. So he sued. He got $4 million bucks, and Avenatti stole it from the mentally challenged paraplegic guy. And also he stole, of course, from Stormy Daniels. The creepy porn lawyer was stealing from everybody and somehow, I don't know, thought he was going to get away with it. He represented himself in court. You know who else he stole from? A woman named Alexis Gardner. She was paid $2.7 million by her ex-boyfriend, Miami Heat player Hassan Whiteside. She was a barista and an actress when she hired him to negotiate a settlement with Whiteside, and they never revealed what he did to her. We don't know why Whiteside had to pay, but he gave her $2.75 million, and he stole 2.5 of it from this woman to buy an 8-seater Honda Jet, which has been confiscated. He said he was deeply remorseful, contrite, and all this. And he's 51. He's not going to see the light of day, hopefully, till he's, 65 at least. But let's listen. Let's look back. Let's reflect. Let's trip down memory lane of how the mainstream media fell in love with this scumbag. I have to give tip of my cap to my man, Tucker Carlson, who didn't fall for it, called him the creepy porn lawyer. He had him on the show. They had a big fight. It was great TV. But at the same time, because he went on TV every 10 minutes and attacked Trump and was representing Stormy Daniels, these people just fell head over heels. Let's listen to some of it. Go ahead.
He's Donald Trump's worst nightmare, Michael Avenatti.
Joining us once again is Michael Avenatti.
Let's bring in Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti.
Michael Avenatti, thank you very much.
He's out there saving the country.
John Meacham says he may be the savior of the republic.
You are something of a folk hero now.
I owe Michael Avenatti an apology. I've been saying enough already, Michael. I've seen you everywhere. What do you have left to say? I was wrong, brother. You have a lot to say. I am just dying to hear what you think.
These people all like you.
I'm the only person right here Donald Trump fears more than Robert Miller.
We think you guys are the tip of the spear that's going to take down Donald Trump.
Michael Avenatti is a beast.
Okay, that's true.
And
he's a beast.
He's a beast.
I hand it to her, and I hand it to Michael Avenatti.
But he has a great, bigger calling here, that being a lawyer is minimal compared to what he's doing.
No one has talked tougher directly to Donald Trump on TV than Michael Avenatti, and Donald Trump is afraid to mention his name.
That's fascinating. Donald Trump is terrified of Michael Avenatti.
He gives Trump a run for his money more than anybody else, Michael Avenatti.
An existential threat to the Trump presidency.
The Democrats could learn something for you. You are messing with Trump a lot more than they are.
He has no doubt created sheer panic in Donald Trump's very fragile mind.
Michael Avenatti is laying down the law as guest co-host. And is he really thinking about running for president?
One reason why I'm taking you seriously as a contender is because of your presence on cable news.
You look at the field of Democrats right now, and Avenatti's the one who stands out.
If they decide they value a fighter most,
yes,
people would be foolish to underestimate Michael Avenatti.
I have always said that they need a fighter.
Look, I mean, we're going to continue to use the media. I think we've used it with great success.
Oh, God. You know what? He's doing 14 years, hard time. He's still a better candidate than Kamala Harris. I'll say that. He still might be the best candidate for 2024 among, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and Liz Warren. But they just couldn't get enough of the man. Here's what's going to happen today. Trump's going to post something on True Social, totally stupid, ridiculous. I mean, he should take a victory lap. I understand that, but make it, modest. We saw what happened Friday when Musk dropped the Twitter files, vindicating Trump, who said it was rigged. It was rigged. And what did he do? Said, let's suspend the Constitution, handed them a gift because that's what he does. He's not good at these moments. He shouldn't, you know, you can gloat a little bit, Donald, but don't, you know, don't call for him to be executed or something. He'll do something stupid. But we did save the best for last here with the love affair with Avenatti. This is Anna Navarro from The View. By the way, today in that video, they said he was a co-host. He was a guest co-host on The View. I didn't think they let guys do that. I thought it had to be a woman, but they loved him so much, they made him a guest co-host.
Come send the gay police.
But this is Anna Navarro of The View talking. Is he sitting with her?
Yes.
So he's sitting with her, and she is smitten. Let's listen.
Lately, to me, you're like the Holy Spirit. You are all places at all times, right? I mean, I do. I see you all over cable news. I see you. You know, there is a seat available if you want to be a co-host at The View. You might, you know, there's people here you can pitch.
He doesn't even say, stop it. He's like, yes, I am.
You're like the Holy Spirit. While he's doing this, the Holy Spirit is ripping off disabled, paraplegic guys, stealing their money and buying private jets. Could be the biggest scumbag on the planet. And but that didn't stop. This is what happens when you hate, when you work to defeat, to stop Trump. They love you. Doesn't matter if you're Fauci and you destroy the economy and cause a rash of, you know, suicides among young people. That's okay because you helped defeat Trump. Avenatti, you're stealing from paraplegics. That's okay because you hate Trump just like we do, says the mainstream media. All right, let's get to your assignment this week. And I do want to revisit the Twitter files, even though we haven't had the new dump from Musk and Barry Weiss, and Brady wins again. But first, let's Suchet. This is for you homeowners, home builders out there. Did you know that Shake Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps? Of course you did. I've been telling you about this. This is the best thing. I think it might be the best thing they do is their precast concrete steps. Whether you're building a new home or you need to replace an old staircase in an old home, Shea has great values with designs for any home. Available in concrete, or you can customize the steps with beautiful stone, granite, or brick. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home. In most cases, they can remove the old stairs and have you walking up your new front steps within hours. Just like that, you call Shea, they come over, they take the old steps away, which, by the way, they're really heavy. That is a pain in the ass. They take the old steps away, they put the new steps. You can sit in the window with the AC cranking and watch it all happen. And when they're done, your house looks better and it's worth more. This isn't an expense, this is an investment in your home. Check it out. You can learn more about Shea's precast concrete steps at SheaConcrete.com. And by the way, you can also look for a job there. You can go to Shea Concrete or get on SheaConcrete.com. They're always hiring. It's a great company, a great place to work. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade your profession and go work for Shea. Check that out as well at SheaConcrete.com. All right, before we get to Harry and Meghan, I do have this. There's not really an update other than the media continues to show just how in the tank they are by not covering the biggest political scandal of our lifetimes. As we went over yesterday, and everyone's pretty familiar now. I'm gonna try to keep this really simple for people who don't really want to do the deep dive and don't really want to read this endless thread from Matt Taibbi or Barry Weiss, or don't really want to invest a lot of time in this. I just want to try to convey just how big a scandal it is and keep it really simple. Here's what happened. Here's what we know between the Twitter files and Miranda Devine's reporting in the New York Post. Here's what we know. Here's why it's so big. Here's why it's so scandalous. All right. We know, and this is key. We know the FBI had a copy of the laptop. They had the laptop. The repair guy, John Paul Mac Isaac, the guy with the weird hat, he gave it to them on December 9th, 2019. They had it for almost a year when they went to, the FBI went to Silicon Valley, met with Facebook, met with Twitter. Keep this in mind. They're part of the Department of Justice. That's in the executive branch, I believe. And the president was Donald Trump. They were working behind the back of the president to defeat the president and install Joe Biden. This is your FBI. According to Yul Roth, they would show up with at least seven agents would show up in San Francisco, meet with Twitter, meet with Facebook execs, and tell them what they wanted them to do. All right, this is key. They told Roth and other Twitter executives that to be wary, to be aware and vigilant and cautious, because there's Russian disinformation during the campaign, and it might be about Hunter Biden. There'll be a Russian drop of disinformation. This is from the FBI. They knew that was a lie. They knew it because two reasons. They had the laptop from Isaac, the repair guy, and they were spying on Rudy Giuliani, Trump's attorney. They were tapped into Trump's attorney's cloud and had all his texts and emails. They were spying on Miranda Devine of the New York Post. They had all their communication. They knew the story was going to be reported. They went to Twitter and said, there is going to be this dump of Russian disinformation, when they knew that laptop was legit. They had it in their possession. So the FBI, working to defeat the sitting president, went to Silicon Valley, lied, said that this was from the Russians. Twitter, of course, did as they were told and censored everything about they wouldn't let you share. You weren't even allowed to share the laptop story on DMs. You couldn't even share it among your friends. Wow. They stopped it from being shared. They stopped the public from learning the truth about the corruption of the Biden family. It worked, obviously. People didn't know about it. Lots of people voted for Biden who wouldn't have otherwise. But just try to get your mind around that. They're spying on the president's lawyer, where they learn that he's talking to the New York Post and they're about to do this big blockbuster story. They go to stop it and they lie and say this is Russian disinformation when they knew they had it. They knew it wasn't. And they not only did they not do anything about the laptop, they had it. They had evidence of thousands of crimes, financial crimes, crimes involving the candidate, Joe Biden, crimes involving drugs and hookers and everything else. They not only they sit on that, or as John Paul Isaac said last night, he said he thought the FBI would just take the laptop and throw it in the Potomac. He knew the fix was in, you know, as soon as he gave it to him, and it turned out to be right. But the idea that the FBI was working to defeat the sitting president with the Biden campaign and Twitter is a massive scandal and a frightening one. It's one thing to have woke pukes like Yul Roth and Vijay Gotti working to defeat Trump. It's another thing when you think about the FBI. Our leading biggest law enforcement agency in the country, and they got guns, and they're working to defeat one side, one team for the other. They're working for a guy who's not president, a candidate. That's how deep the deep state is. That is a massive scandal, and the idea that the media is ignoring it is just insane. And by the way, I hope Musk is ready. I think he is. I think he's a national hero, as I've said many times, for this reason. He's the richest man in the world. He didn't need this. He got into this fight for all the right reasons, to defend free speech, and they are going to come after him. I hope he's ready. They're going to come after him with every tool they have, the IRS, the DOJ. They're going to come after him for animal testing, this whatever it's called, Neuralink thing. They're going to come after him every which way. I hope he's ready, because these people, as I've said, they fight dirty. These people are sinister. They're despicable, and they're going to come hard after Musk. Get ready. And when they do, all the media people who ignore the story will suddenly have an interest in this story, because it'll be about bringing down Musk. As he joked on that call the other night that he's not suicidal, and if he's dead, he didn't kill himself. He was just joking around, but I'm serious. I'm not saying they're going to kill him, but they are going to make his life difficult. Get ready. They will have so many more resources devoted to investigating Musk and Twitter than they will ever spend on FTX or SBF. Musk, to them, is a bigger criminal than FTX. FTX, SBF stole billions from people, but he's one of their guys, and he was greasing all the right palms. They'll spend much more time investigating Musk than they ever did of Jeffrey Epstein. Much more time investigating Musk than they ever did investigating the myriad crimes of the Biden family. But the idea that they pretend they're acting as if it's not a story is just so insane at this point. But anyway, it's not, hey, you can only cover so many stories. And Meghan and Harry have a Netflix special dropping. Let's get to that. This is so crazy. I mean, I looked at this and thought, who the hell's ever going to watch this? But apparently there's an audience out there, an audience for this self-serving dreck that Netflix is serving up. But these people are so despicable. I mean, I hate all royal family, but they go to the top of the list. These two are just scum. Honest to God, using racism, making up racism. Can I be honest? I used to love Meghan just because I think she's hot. I didn't even know anything about her when she first hit the scene. I never saw that show she was on. I never knew she was black. I know that sounds crazy, but did you know that when you saw her at first? Just this really hot. I mean, I'm looking at her right now. I mean, I never knew when she was like a small time actress. Did you ever look at her and say, she's, you know, African American?
I don't see color.
Yeah, I mean, I don't with her. I didn't never cross my mind the idea that she could be a victim of racism. Of course, she's not. But she's accusing, of course, the royal family and the treatment she got of being racist. But here's today's story. Meghan and Harry have been spotted for the first time since their incendiary Netflix trailer as they arrived in New York by private jet to accept an award for their heroic stand against structural racism in the royal family. I kid you not, this is from the Daily Mail. They got an award. Let me find it. The Duchess beamed as she and Harry stepped into a waiting SUV before making their way into the Big Apple. They have what she was wearing and everything. The Sussexes, is that their last name, Sussex? Who were pictured yesterday, are set to receive a human rights award at tonight's The Ripple of Hope Gala, where tickets, this is from the Daily Mail, I'm just reading, tickets are selling for up to $1 million. What? Previous winners were Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton. God, these are just, can you just imagine being among these creepy, slimy people? The royal family is braced for further attacks from the couple when the first episode of their explosive Netflix series is released on Thursday. That's 2 days from now. And people are just already picking it apart. They have pictures in it that purport to show them under the gun from the media and all the pressure. And they're like, there's one picture of a bunch of media people, but it's from the premiere of Harry Potter. It's not from any event that they were the focus of. And there's another picture of them getting their picture taken from behind. And the photographer said that they hired him. It was like their photo shoot. And they're making it look like, oh, they can't get a moment's peace. These poor kids, they just want to live their life in their $15 million mansion in Montecito. And they just want to be left alone to make their Netflix documentary and make their, to do their podcast and sell all the products they endorse. Just, could people just leave them be? I mean, why do they have to hound them so much? It just doesn't seem right. But you will be watching, right, Ironhead?
I'm going to have to. I mean, if they do the story right, it could be cool if they get into the behind the scenes stuff about how much they suck. I'll be all about that.
Oh, yeah. So they made a deal with Netflix. They're producing it. And you think they're going to get to behind the scenes stuff that they suck?
No. The royal family as a whole. Like, they start just trashing them.
The royal family. The six-hour series, Allies told the six-hour series on Netflix, there was, quote, a war against Meghan to suit other people's agenda, with one claiming it's about hatreds, it's about race. We're really supposed to believe it's about race? That the people in the royal family don't like her? How about the fact that she's a spoiled little brat who makes everything about herself, as we show? But Ironhead's on it. He's going to be watching and give us a full review. Maybe on Friday we'll get the full review of the first installment of the Netflix series. Well, Tom Brady did it again. Before we wrap up here, it's funny. I was watching this game. I was watching the Manning cast which is great TV. Those two are excellent together. They just seem so natural. They don't seem fake at all. I don't even like their interviews. They had Dana White on. He was terrible. And they showed him as a kid wearing a Russ Francis jersey, and he didn't know who Russ Francis was. Dana White said he was a huge Patriots fan. They had Randy Moss on, and he tried to do all the talk about it. Just those two watching the game and busting on each other and showing video. They were showing video from Eli Manning playing flag football when he was like 8 years old, and he just dominated the game. That stuff is funny. But you're watching this, and he's down 17-3 or 16-3, and you're just saying, he's going to win. He's going to win. That team is not good. He was as bad as I've ever seen him for three quarters. And I'm saying, man, this could be the day. This is how it works for Brady. You say, this could be the day that we say, wow, he's lost it. He's old. He comes back. He wins the last play of the game. I think they said it was the first time, the latest he'd ever won a game with 3 seconds left. They had the graphic up. Peyton Manning didn't even notice it. This is now 44 come from behind wins in the fourth quarter of overtime, passing Peyton Manning for the most all time. And Manning didn't even notice it when they put the graphic up there, but just another record. They go 6-6. They go to 6-6. They're in first place in that awful division. The Patriots are 6-6, and they're in last place. But here's what Brady does. He makes you think he's old. He's not great anymore. He's not at the top of his game, but he will find a way. He'll win that division. He'll get into the playoffs, and we'll all be sitting there going, is it possible? Could he do it again? Could he find a way to sneak into another Super Bowl? My answer is no way. No way in hell. But I'll be watching and wondering, and he just makes it interesting. You know, he's amazing. It was an amazing last second comeback, and the Mannings were just going, what the hell just happened? And you know what? The Saints with Andy Dalton, that's a loser team. That's a loser franchise. I was glad. It was fun. And of course he went running off the field saying, let's effing go. And look good. And for about a minute of the 60 minute game.
Andy Dalton can either look like Tom Brady or like Mark Sanchez, depending on the day.
I can never look at him and feel confident, unlike with Brady. But we'll see going forward again. 6-6, first place, Tampa Bay Bucks. They're one of the lowest scoring teams in the NFL. They've given up more points than they've scored. They're averaging 18 points a game going into that. It's just things aren't clicking, but there's plenty of time. Five games to go. But that will do it. That's my signal, Angry Joe at the podium. That's my single, or Angry Joe, or Creepy Joe looking in the window. That's our signal now for it's time to go. So we will wrap this up. Thanks to everyone for watching and listening. Ironhead, thanks to you. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is the Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Here tonight, shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.